The Common Good Radio Show is paid for by Veteran Rescue Mission. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitation.
Welcome to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission on 1030 The Voice.
And welcome back, everybody, for one more amazing week of the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am Pastor John McClain, as always, here with my bosom buddy, the best friend a man could ask for, Mr. Andreas Ruiz, opening up a present. That's radio magic here in us opening our presents that we're getting from Amy Bass with portable, practical, educational preparation. That's like a tongue twister. That's like Peter Piper picked a pickup with Pep, also known as Pep Inc., a powerhouse in the local community. We're sitting here opening these awesome mugs that are, let's say, a motto, Community Alliance, on them. So I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about this today. That was an excellent plug, by the way. Well done there, Amy. And this is the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. We're going to put on another awesome one for you out there, you beautiful radio listeners.
Yes, sir.
You ready for this? Let's bring the heat.
Yes.
Yeah, so we got something cool today. Our first guest is actually going to be a friend of mine since I was a teeny little guy at 12 years of age.
Cool.
Pretty much my best friend from 12 years of age. And we're going to talk about, you know, the journey that we've both been on over these years, and kind of, you know, what he's been able to see, his perspective of, you know, how Veteran Rescue Mission came to play and everything else. So
love it.
And then, as we mentioned, we got Amy Bass and Ed Dunnan, and I'm going to butcher this name. I always do. Wasevich. There we go. with Pep Inc. Those who don't know what Pep is, you will figure it out today. Sure. And then also, we will be speaking with Sophia Montez once again with Veterans Agricultural Education and Apprenticeship Program in the Southwest. I don't know why we have me say the stuff that's hard to say, but that's what it is. But just like we do every show, we're going to give grace to a loving father that is so good to us. By this show, we're going to start with the Lord's Prayer. So it goes a little something like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that being said, let me bring on my best friend since I was a little guy to and a guy that actually we shared many fond moments of Christianity as children, certainly shared a bond around a very loving father. So it'll be cool to have him on.
Nice.
Hello, Corey Wall. Welcome to the Common Good Radio Show, my friend.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Isn't this nuts?
Hey, and I just have to say, that was some great use of alliteration.
You'd like that. Yeah. Yeah. It's not easy to say. I mean, and you know me, I can barely even say regular words. So
you're bringing it today.
Yeah, I'm bringing the, at least my A minus game. I would say like B plus. Like if we're going to be honest,
that's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. I'll take that.
Sure. But so definitely, I was really excited to have you on because you've seen me go through a lot. You know, we've been through a lot. I guess in theory over these years. I don't know, Andreas, you look like you have something to say. No, he doesn't have anything to say. Okay, good. Yeah, so kind of to tell a story, we both went to Bogle Junior High, and I guess that's where we met, right? Or Willis? Where'd we go?
Yeah, Willis Junior High.
Yeah, Willis Junior High, and I went over to Bogle after that. And then you went to a different high school, I went to a different high school, but we still were best buddies. We actually even lived together shortly after we graduated from high school. And you pretty much worked at a major institution as soon as we graduated high school, and you kind of been on that path, but you've seen me kind of like take a very different path. You know, what are your kind of, what's your thoughts on that long path I took to where we find me today running a homeless veteran transition program?
Well, you know, I obviously series of events, some of them I know, some of them I don't. Interesting journey. From my perspective, you are an interesting guy. You've led an interesting life just from start to finish since we were 12 all the way up to now when we're a million years old. I'm not sure if you want me to tell your age on radio. So
yeah, well, we're 56.
That.
Everybody should know that. Yeah. Okay, we're yeah. great looking 56.
You can tell by the maturity in our voices, obviously, 56. Yeah. No, but, you know, I do know one thing before I get into anything. Every step that you took, good or bad, brought you to where you're at now.
Mm.
You know, and that's it's pretty cool to think about. 12, you know, just starting at 12 and, you know, growing up, high school, getting into trouble together. We were really good at that.
Mm.
I'm sure you remember a couple nights that I won't get into.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not that kind of show, but, you know, we've gotten
that'd be
trouble.
Your show. That'd be the absolute rubbish
yeah,
show.
Right? That'll be my show. That'll be my show for later when we get into those specifics.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, man, where to even begin?
Well, I remember we met. I met you in Portland, just to meet up with you because you were out there. You were working out there, and then I was actually staying at a tiny house village doing a research study in downtown Portland. What were your thoughts? Like, I was in the midst of being homeless at that time. Like, what was running through your mind at that time?
Well, I'll tell you, because, you know, at that point, I hadn't seen you in how long? A couple of years?
Yeah, at least.
You know, I think we talked every once in a while, but it had been a few years, and you call me up out of the blue, and I knew your situation. I knew you were homeless. But, you know, from my standpoint, someone who's never been in that situation, I have built up stories in my head of what homeless is,
mm-hmm.
And you blew me away in Portland when you brought me out there and really opened my eyes to the sense of a community that
mm-hmm.
it is
mm-hmm.
and the organization that it had and, you know, people needing to earn their keep in order to stay there. And it blew me away. I felt like it was more than homelessness. I almost think that that's not the right word,
mm-hmm.
To put on it. But that's, you know, my own ignorance there. But that to me, that opened my eyes to really what you have been working on, where your inspiration was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I could definitely tell that tour that you took me on, that I could see why you were inspired to help, you know, all the way around. Cause it's a great support system when it was all said and done.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's funny that you say that, cause it flashes me back to the time when I was in the military as well, which I think that, you know, that was certainly, that was when we really kind of started going on our own ways. So I didn't get to share that time with you, but, yeah, I'm definitely glad you got to see that. And
yeah, I didn't even know you were in Iraq until you called me from Iraq and told me.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't even remember that I did call you from Iraq, but I'm guessing I would, cause I'm that type of cut up.
No, you did. And I'm glad you did. It was good to hear from you. But, you know, and that's another piece that, you know, I'm sure you shared on this show, another piece of your passion and how this all fits together, you being in the military and serving like you did for the amount of time. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe your dad also served, mm-hmm. right?
Dad and mom.
So
yeah, I don't know if you ever knew that, but my mom was in the Army, too.
Yeah, I don't think I did. But, I mean, that influence led you to go in and serve. The experience of you being homeless, from my standpoint,
that's
connected.
I don't know if you could hear that, Corey, but that's the cue.
That means I gotta shut up.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, brother. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you have some gently used clothes, furniture, or vehicles that you'd like to donate to an organization that's helping connect our local veterans to housing, benefits, and the services they need to transition into civilian life? Then come to Veteran Thrift at 2241 North Oracle to donate your goods, time, to shop, or to take advantage of our free item program every Friday. Veteran Thrift, with your help, can get unhoused veterans the help they need.
primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
North Star Hyperbaric is an alternative treatment center that uses hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, to deliver the benefits of 100% medical-grade oxygen under pressure to injured tissue, enhancing oxygen delivery 7 to 12 times normal. Dr. Carol Hendricks of North Star Hyperbaric is a practicing neurologist who specializes in the use of HBOT and pulsed electromagnetic field therapy to help heal her patients. Go to NorthStarHBOT.com today to schedule a consultation.
Welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show. I am your motivational speaker and coach alongside Pastor John McClain. Yep. And today we have some very special guests mm-hmm. that I've had the privilege to meet yeah. in the past couple of weeks.
They're just radiating good energy.
I know. I can feel it, man. So as soon as I met Amy, let me introduce her. It's Amy Bass and Ed Dunnan with Portable Practical Educational Preparation, Inc.
You said that so much easier than I did, man.
Yeah. So I'm just really grateful to have you both here. I really, just by speaking to you for a couple of minutes, I can see that you are doing amazing work that I really enjoy myself doing. So let's get into it. So for Amy and Ed, what is PPEP?
Pepping.
Figured out the easier way to say it. But I'll tell you that when I started at PEP, that's what I did for the first 3 months. Was everywhere I went, I said portable practical educational preparation, uh-huh. so that now I can say it. Mm-hmm. It's like yeah. really cool to say.
Yeah,
really cool organization.
You like have superpowers, be able to just whip that off the tongue. It's like those people that are really good at tongue twisters.
Right. So we're just really glad to be here, and we have some great information to share with you. And so PEP has been around since 1967, started by Dr. John Arnold. There's a great story behind the organization. It actually started with a little blue school bus, that he took out into the migrant farm worker fields to teach English as a second language and provide education to the migrant farm workers. And it's just grown over the last 54 years, and Dr. Arnold is still the CEO, still doing an amazing job. Wow. Actually, our newest venture is partnering with the 3000 Club and some other people to provide food boxes.
Nice.
So that's where he is today, out in Patagonia, just coming back. The first stop was in South Tucson. They dropped off 130 food boxes. They're 35 pounds each.
Wow.
Delivered those to the community, and then on to Amado, Arizona, what we're going to talk about Amado here today, and then out to Patagonia. And sometimes they stop by the reservation too. So really just trying to meet the community where they're at. And so PEP is a big organization. There's a lot of different departments. We have developmental disabilities department. We have behavioral health, the migrant farm workers, which I mentioned. Also, PEP has five charter schools around the state. Really doing good work, getting kids ready to go to college or career, and helping them. So we are the prevention department, and what we do is try to do everything we can, working through the community and with kids, to prevent kids from underage drinking, alcohol, and other drugs, because we know what that does to people's lives.
Yep.
Right?
Been there.
So down in Amado, that's one of our rural projects. Excuse me. And the kids in Amado that we serve are underserved. So in Amado, it's a very small place. I often enjoy when I meet people and talk to them about the project, and I say, "Do you know where Amado is?" And they kind of look at me and go, "No." And I didn't either in the beginning. I ran into Pastor Mauricio Lopez from the Universal Apostolic Church out at Pima College. And he wanted to volunteer Well, from that time, we were able to get a federal grant, and we've been down there now for almost 13 years, working in the community. And I think we are one of the few, if not the only one at times, providing the services that we do to this population.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, and it's like, it seems to be common that we have so many, like I was saying behind the scenes, so many powerhouse organizations like yours that only do what they do. Like another organization that we have come on is Gap Ministries. And Gap Ministries is, I mean, there's a lot of overlap in stuff that you do that they do, but there's stuff that you do that they don't do, and there's stuff that they do that you guys don't do. And if it wasn't for the both of your organizations doing those things, it wouldn't be done at all. So I guess speak more to what the Amado Youth Center is and exactly that population that it's serving.
So the Amado Youth Center started, it's like about 2011. Okay. We started renovating a little vacant storefront that was built probably back in the 50s or earlier. You could tell it was built by just local people and, you know, it was solidly constructed, but that was many years ago. And I don't think much had been done to the building. And we ran our programs out of there. And we had after-school programs for the kids, teaching life skills and empowerment and emotional intelligence. Because when kids are able to self-regulate and have goals and aspirations, they are less likely to want to use drugs or other harmful behaviors, right?
Absolutely.
So we tried to give them a safe place. We grew quickly. We had more kids than the little building could hold, and we had to limit that. And then we were fortunate to be able to get into the local elementary school there and do some programming there. And we went from there, started providing services to parents, because kids are in school, they go home to parents, parents need to be supported. So we did that. However, 2018, September 2nd, there was a giant rainfall flood, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, when you say you had a flood in Arizona, people kind of look at you kind of funny, right? Like you had a what? And yeah, we did. So the water didn't flow where it was supposed to, and it kind of diverted. And it went to a few different properties, and ours wasn't our property. It was leased property, but it went gushing into our building. And the building next door, it was the Cow Palace. You probably heard of it.
Yes,
it kind of busted out their doors, and water went in 4 feet high. The tables were floating around. Yeah, it was crazy. And so after that, because we're serving kids, the county gets in there and does the mold test, right? So we're out of there now. We can't go in it because, you know, all our stuff was covered with mud. And so they called a, you know, company came in. They just boxed everything up. One day we're going to have to unbox it and find out what's in there, right?
But
they boxed everything up, mud and all, and put it into storage. And that's all our stuff. And we kind of scattered, like, what were we going to do now? So the community opened up their doors, and we have an office at the Universal Apostolic Church, and I mean the Unitarian Church. So we've got the Universalist Unitarian people that are supporting us. We have an office space there. We have some meeting space at the Universal Apostolic Church.
Awesome.
The Sonoran Center for Behavioral, what is it? The Spiritual Living. Sonoran Center for Spiritual
Living.
Yeah. Too many words. Sorry. And so there's the point is that the community has really stepped up.
That's
and
amazing.
We still do not have a central place to convene all the kids. Now, at the same time, we've got coronavirus, right? So we have the social distancing. We've been able to bring the kids out to the park, do some stuff with them there. For people that have internet, we can get some kids on internet. But I will tell you right now, these rural communities, I think I read something the other day that there's going to be money for internet in rural communities. What a brilliant idea, right?
Yeah.
We need it. And so right now, that's where we stand. I'm sure Ed can talk more about this, but
we're going to go ahead and go into the break. We're going to pick up when we get back after this break, and we're going to talk a little bit about a Motto Chili Cook-Off. So you guys hang in right there. This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Vet and Rescue Mission. I'm Pastor John McClain, as always, here with Mr. Andreas Ruiz, with I Believe in Myself, and you guys sit right there. We're watching you, so don't move.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to veteranrescuemission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at veteranrescuemission.org. North Star Hyperbaric is an alternative treatment center that uses hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, to deliver the benefits of 100% medical-grade oxygen under pressure to injured tissue, enhancing oxygen delivery 7 to 12 times normal. Dr. Carol Hendricks of North Star Hyperbaric is a practicing neurologist who specializes in the use of HBOT and pulsed electromagnetic field therapy to help heal her patients. Go to NorthStarHBOT.com today to schedule a consultation.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission on 1030 The Voice. I'm Pastor John McClain here with Andreas Ruiz of I Believe in Myself Coaching. If you need somebody to help you reach that next step in your life, whether it's business, whether it's a goal that you have, you want to write a book, reach out to I Believe in Myself Coaching and Andreas Ruiz, because I can attest, if it wasn't for this man, there are many milestones I would have never reached in my life. So
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Andreas. Yeah,
you're welcome. For sure. But enough of me patting him on the back, even though he deserves it. Let's pat another amazing group on the back. We have Mrs. Amy Bass and Mr. Ed Dunin Wasovich.
Dunin Vasovich, but that's Wasovich. Okay. Took me to the third grade to get it.
Let's say it again. Say it again.
Dunin Vasovich.
Dunin Vasovich. That is just kind of slick. That almost like, especially having a name of a character from Die Hard, that sounds like one of the bad guys from Die Hard's name, for sure. I am Dunin Vasovich.
Very smooth. Huh?
Yeah.
Smooth voice.
Yeah, love it. Yeah. So, anyways, we teased our listeners with some talk of a chili cook-off before the break. So, just because I felt bad that we didn't let Ed get some good punches in before the break, I'll ask you, Ed. Well, at least I'll ask you first, because I know Amy's got some really good stuff as well. What is the Amato Chili Cook-Off and the Classic Car and Motorcycle Show?
Well, thanks for asking. The cook-off and car show started back in 2010.
Okay.
It was organized by local businesses. At that time, the Amato Business Association was in form.
Okay.
As Amy mentioned, PEP has grants down there. Mm-hmm. And so we started working with PEP down on the grants. I'm the media advisor for the coalition, the coalition, CPC, Amato Community Alliance, the Stop It Coalition of
that
South
Tucson. That
sounds
like a lot of responsibility. It's all on your shoulders, man.
It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
And so anyway, back to the cook-off here. When it started, it took about 3 years, 4 years for it to get rolling and kind of get popular with everyone and start to draw audiences. And about that time, because I was working on there, they asked me to be the chair of the Amato Chili Cook-Off. And so I said, sure, I'll be happy to help with media and such. And so we got together, and the event eventually grew to a point where in 2019 we had 1,500 to 1,700, somewhere in that range of visitors. And the way the cook-off works is it's free admission. And at that time, we were doing chili tasting in person. And so someone could buy a $5 chili cup as part of a donation. Then, of course, we have sponsors that really are the backbone support of the event. And then the car show. And each year, since, like I say, that fourth, fifth year, we've managed to draw anywhere from 50 to 110 cars. I believe we had 95 cars in 2019. So it's a good full-bodied event. On top of that, we have, for the entire day of the event, entertainment. So we've got music going and such. And so it's really something for a family event. Then something we're really proud of, and I'm not sure of the year that this happened, but I think it was about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, it became an alcohol-free event. And we had done that because of the fact that we were in a drug-free communities grant, and it was a good feather in our cap to be able to tell the federal grant folks that we had cleared an area, a period of time, where kids and family could be there without the influence of alcohol around them.
So that
was a big milestone for us, I think, and a great achievement. So over the this period of time, since I've described this event to you, so our challenge became in 2020 to start thinking virtually. So how do we do a car show and a chili cook-off virtually? And so we started to really work on multiple different directions. We have a very active committee that's very, very devoted. We have actually two committees down there. There's the Mono Community Alliance, and then there's the Cook-Off Committee. And some of it, you know, some folks are on both, but but both of them were really instrumental in helping us kind of put our thoughts together. And so this year, what we're doing is we're going to have an actual car show on May 1st down at the Longhorn Grill and Saloon. On their property. They've been expanding their property, building out the parking area, and coincidental to that, we could use that area. So we're going to be having the cars there. We're doing a program that way it works is a car drives into the staging area. We're videotaping. We interview the car guy who owns it. And we also have already had information on the car. So the color commentators, as you know, are there on the stage talking about this 1952 Buick that has these kind of special features, for example. And then after they go through, we will have all that videotaped. We're then going to make that part of a program we're doing in June 1st that will air. On the way to that program, now we've got the car show kind of under our belt, we will be doing a chili tasting period of time, a week of chili tasting, where folks will be invited to local restaurants around the Green Valley, Sahuarita, Tubac area to go to their favorite place. They'll be selling the chili there for them, sample that they're going to make as an entry. They will receive information so that they can go on our website and then vote for their favorite chili.
It's amazing.
So that happens over that period of time, first couple of weeks in May. Then we have a wonderful group, Fifth Avenue Productions. It's up here in Tucson. And Renee Pacheco, I keep calling him Renee. I can't think of his last name anyway. He's going to hate me for this. But anyway, he has volunteered a lot of his time and a lot of his talent and a lot of equipment to be able to make this a staged show. So we have great videotaping. He'll be also editing everything together. So at the end, we were going to have a 90-minute program. It'll be a YouTube program that'll be broadcast through the Amato AmatoChiliCookoff.org website.
AmatoChiliCookoff.org. And also, we got probably about 30, 40 seconds till we got to cut out. How can people just plug in with PEP? I guess I'll turn this question back to Amy before we take off. How can people
help support the Chili Cook-Off, which is supporting the building fund, which is supporting the youth, they can go to www.AmatoChiliCookoff.org and donate there. They can be a sponsor there. They can directly donate there to help us get that building up. They can also go to PEP. The PEP website has a donation link on it. So www.ppep.org, and go to donate, and they select the Amato Building Youth Center Fund. And so, and they're all tax deductible, and we need this. The kids need it. And so come out, have fun, come to the Chili Cook-Off car show virtually, some in person, and we'll see you there.
Yeah, well, thank you guys so much for coming in with
us.
This is amazing. This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I'm Pastor John McClain here with Andreas Ruiz. You guys stay right there. We will be.
Here Comes That Dreamer is a film documentary created by P.J. McArdle. It's about an Iraq war veteran who comes home and uses war tactics he learned in Iraq to fight for the homeless in Tucson. To get a copy of the documentary Here Comes That Dreamer, or to find out how you can show support and get involved with helping Tucson's homeless population, visit HereComesThatDreamer.com.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com. to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to veteranrescuemission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at veteranrescuemission.org.
Brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission, I am Pastor John McClain here with Andreas Ruiz, as his mother named him, with I Believe in Myself yes. coaching. And we're believing in ourselves today, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling good today.
Today's the day.
And we have one more amazing guest in studio with us today. She's been here before. I'm excited to have her here again because she's kind of like the one with her hand on all the buttons and all the levers behind the Veterans Agriculture Education and Apprenticeship Program in the Southwest. So it's always good for her to talk about what we've done. And I say we because Veteran Rescue Mission is part of this organization. It's this USDA grant-funded organization to teach veterans how to do agriculture, among a litany of other things, to find jobs or find even businesses within the industry. So thank you, Sophia Montez, for being here with us once again.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So remind our listeners who didn't catch you on the show last time what Veterans Agriculture Education Apprenticeship Program in the Southwest is.
A mouthful, first of
yes,
all.
Yes, absolutely.
We just call it the VAEAP, which is still kind of a mouthful.
Okay.
But it's fine. This is a program designed for veterans, and any veteran in Arizona can attend. It's totally free to them. We're grant funded. Our project team is amazing and has organizations such as yourself, but also, you know, the University of Arizona Extension, and then different nonprofits and businesses all over the state. We spent the last year preparing the curriculum, developing the program, getting things ready. And this year, we finally started accepting participants. And so people can take online courses on agriculture-related and green industry-related issues they want to learn on. And then they also do a one-week apprenticeship at a host farm in Arizona. So it's supposed to be a very practical, very useful program for people that want to get into agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the acronym, what is VAEAP? I have to get used to saying it. VAEAP. Accomplished so far?
Well, we have, I believe, I should have counted before I came here, 13 participants currently active, which
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Yeah. Everyone's doing their online curriculum right now, taking classes. We're recording every class and putting them online so people have them as like this library. So even if you're not actually taking a class, you can watch it later on your own. We want this to be a resource for people. We also installed a hoop house at Ever Valley Growers, thanks to Bruce, who's one of the, one of our project team members, and he's one of the host farms. And he was very gracious he has this hoop house he wanted to install, and he was very gracious to invite the participants. Mm-hmm. People got a hands-on chance to build it.
Nice.
And we're doing another one this Saturday, where we're hoping to get a little farther, maybe put the plastic up, do the irrigation. And we're hoping to schedule a lot more kind of tours. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm kind of working to organize with different plant nurseries or organizations, maybe in Phoenix or Northern Arizona, spread out a little bit because we have participants everywhere.
Yeah.
And just kind of get people hands-on experience while they do their online curriculum.
Yeah, I guess let's touch on it real quick because, I mean, again, every time you come here, I get updated on the numbers that I'm unfamiliar with. We got 13 participants that signed up. I mean, I know at one time particularly, we really just got the ball rolling this time last year, right when kind of like the news of coronavirus hit, where we're just like, we're ready to meet each other, but then we're like, nah. And then I want to think at one point, we didn't know how we would get participants, you know, and to think we had 13, that almost feels like a million.
Yeah, it feels like we've definitely fought for each one.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely had to pivot. That's a word that's been used a lot this past year for programs like this, or you pivot what you're doing. Instead of handing out brochures at in-person events, we send out a lot of emails. We did a lot of Zoom meetings. Myself and, you know, the professors spent time just talking to people at this program, sending things out. We developed flyers and things like that. Doing the Facebook page has been great, too. If people are interested, they can check our Facebook for regular updates. And just trying to find people that way. And luckily, you know, we've been able to connect with some networks that have really helped us. The ASU Veteran Upward Bound program has been really helpful in getting our word out, too. So, you know, people want to help when they hear about this program because it's a great program and it's going to help a lot of people, I think.
Nice. And what's on the horizon right now for your program?
Well, at the end of this month, I'm very excited because we're having a meeting with all the host farmers. And we're all going to meet virtually and talk about what the apprenticeship week is going to look like. Because I think participants will want to start scheduling that soon. So we want to make sure there's kind of a baseline for people's experiences, even though each one will be different because each farm will be very different. We have a great range of experiences you can choose from. So that's, I'm really excited about that. It's more internal. But it is going to pay off for participants because the host farms will be ready to schedule with them and we'll know what, you know, what to do and what to expect. And then again, like I'm saying, we just want to keep scheduling events, get some tours out there. Everything that happens is going to be, you know, option of in-person, kind of socially distant. Hopefully a lot of stuff is outside. But we're also going to record it and make it available to participants that can't physically show up because, again, we're all over the state. So just want to get a lot of these kinds of things happening and going and really get people engaged.
Yeah, I was watching the video from the Hoop House and that. I mean, unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there. Hopefully, I'll be able to be at the next Hoop House install. But tell us about that and that experience. I mean, I know you were there and helped us put together our garden, which we actually had our first harvest day just yesterday. So
that's really fun. Great.
Yeah. You know, tell us about that experience and just like other ways that veterans have been able to plug in outside of just the curriculum.
Yeah. I was not at the last Hoop House. I was on vacation on a beach.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I don't blame you.
My coworker's there. But I talked to Bruce and I talked to my coworker who were there and they all said it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We have some participants that are going to come and join the second one, even though they did the first one. It's just a big difference between reading an instruction manual or watching a YouTube video to actually going and seeing how it's built. And you do it once, and when you do it yourself later on, you remember. It's the muscle memory, you know? And it's just a great way, too, for our participants to get to know each other and connect because we've all kind of been lacking these chances to talk in person and do something worthwhile together. So I think people really liked it, and I'm excited for this next one. I will be at this next one. It's happening this Saturday.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. And what time is that at?
8 a.m. It's getting warm now.
Yeah. Yeah, it just is. Yeah. Yeah. And so, we're touching on a little bit. We have these events, and then we have the what we're calling the curriculum. You know, who can sign up to be part of the VAEAP activities exactly?
Participants.
Okay.
And then participants are allowed to bring guests.
Okay.
So last time we had participants bring some family members, which I think worked out really well.
Yeah.
But it is focused on having participants involved. So if you want to learn how to build a hoop house, you know, you got to sign up for the program. But again, it's totally free and will give you a lot more than just how to build a hoop house.
And it's designed specifically for veterans.
For veterans and for people who, like veterans who are working full-time or in school or have a busy life. This is not meant to be, you take 6 weeks out of your life to sit down in front of a computer or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Our classes are about 2 hours long each. You do maybe one a week, maybe one or two a week, depending on how it's scheduled with the professor. And again, you choose which classes you want. There's no jumping over hoops for, you have to take this prerequisite or anything like that. It's like, I want to learn about taxes. And so you take the class on taxes, or you want to learn about soil, so you take the class on soil.
Mm-hmm.
It's very practical.
So if I, like, what is, like, the ideal person look like? Like, what is that person, what should he be searching for? What should he be looking for in regards to participating in this program?
What's been really great about meeting the participants is just seeing the wide range of background they come from.
Mm.
We have really wide range of ages, people who are fresh out of college or, you know, college age, to people who are retired and kind of just want to figure out what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to want to do is get into farming of some sort. I say farming, but I mean a really big umbrella term. It can be a plant nursery. It can be doing solar for agriculture uses. It can be using drones. You know, it can be growing crops or having your little organic berry farm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things you can do with it. So, you know, maybe not even having your own business, you can also just want a career change. We can help you network with jobs and referrals and figure out what it is you want to do. So it's for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing that really excited me about what I was hearing as we developed, because I mean, our organization, in a lot of ways, we're here as, you know, an outreach organization to connect with veterans. We are, you know, Veteran Rescue Mission. But as, you know, as these other professionals at the university are talking about what they're doing and talking about working with drones and solar and all these other things that I didn't even consider in regards to agriculture, I think that got me really excited, because it showed me, for these veterans that do go through these programs, I mean, I would consider it just at kind of widening my range, because you may not get a job in agriculture, but maybe you end up being a drone pilot,
right?
And then I'm getting into that. So
yeah, the one required class we do have is called a careers in agriculture class, and that's when the professors go over all the potential things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think people think farming, they think a guy with a pitchfork standing in front of a red barn, but there's a lot of different ways to do it. There's one of our host farms is an aquaponics farm.
Mm.
They grow, you know, vegetables in the middle of Tucson with no soil.
Mm.
It's totally different from, you know, what you might expect.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to learn from all these different types of businesses.
Nice. And then, so I guess the one most important question, how can people sign up for VAEAP? Or I want to say it, Veterans Agriculture Education Apprenticeship Program in the Southwest.
That's fine. I'm just used to saying VAAP. the main way is just to contact us through a variety of ways. You can email me at sophia.montes@aatechsolar.com. You can just go through our Facebook. You can email vaeapsw@gmail.com.
Okay.
All these roads kind of lead back to me. As you say, I'm the one that's connecting everyone with everything.
Mm-hmm.
So once people connect with me, I'm happy to send them an application, answer any questions, and then we do an interview and get you started in the whole process.
Well, awesome. I got a frog in my throat here, but thank you for coming on the show with us, Sophia. And we will see you all next week. This is the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I'm Pastor John McClain, here with my bosom buddy, Andreas Ruiz. And you've all been such good listeners. Give yourselves a pat on the back. We'll see you next week.
Here Comes That Dreamer is a film documentary created by P.J. McArdle. It's about an Iraq war veteran who comes home and uses war tactics he learned in Iraq to fight for the homeless in Tucson. To get a copy of the documentary, Here Comes That Dreamer, or to find out how you can show support and get involved with helping Tucson's homeless population, visit HereComesThatDreamer.com.
Hello, KVOI listeners. This is Dr. Jennifer Herrera with the Making College Come True radio show, inviting you to join us every Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. to speak with professionals, educators, and other members of our community to get tips on how to get into college and succeed in college, and also explore the possibilities of getting a college degree. Join us this and every week for Making College Come True radio show, where we can help you make college come true for yourself or someone you love.
GAP Ministries is all about impacting one life, because they believe that each and every person matters to God. They strive to build up each child they care for and each individual they serve. That is why we at Veteran Rescue Mission volunteer our time in their kitchen and warehouse every week. And we suggest you do too. Go to gapmin.com to get involved and donate to this blessed organization today.